and asked for a wise and understanding heart to judge the people of God properly. But God also gave him exceeding largeness of heart, as large as the sand on the seashore. So the more wisdom we want, we also need a bigger heart to match it. And that's another thing the Lord has shown me recently is your mind cannot go further than your heart. It can't. You might deceive yourself and think it is. There are people who they think their mind is like they got everything figured out, but their heart is very small and cold, but they don't have everything figured out. If in your heart you only got space for 10% of your heart for Jesus and 90% is still for yourself, well, then you better believe the things that you think you've figured out, probably only 10% of it's about right, and I'm sure 90% of it's about wrong. The mind cannot go past the heart. It all starts with the heart. But let's pray, and we'll get into this discussion tonight. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace and your kindness and your love to us. Father, bless your people tonight. Bless us tonight as we talk about Jesus. Lord, we love Jesus Christ. We want to walk with Jesus Christ in white. We want to be worthy. We want to serve him faithfully and with honor and with dignity, Lord. Father, we want to be true to Jesus. We want to become like Jesus. Lord, the things that we see in Jesus Christ is everything that we want to be a part of and we want to walk in. And so, Father, I'm just asking for grace tonight. Lord, thank you for these men and for Cian, Lord, who have come on, Lord. Bless, Lord. Bless your people. Give us strength in the inner man. Give us vision, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Increase our hearts, Lord. Enlarge our hearts to be filled with more love and more faith and more grace and more truth. So, Father, please, just bless this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, I want to end by 8. I want to start getting into that habit. We've been going long in the past, which I like doing. That's me personally, but I also know sometimes it limits people and what they're able to contribute, what they're able to partake. So we got about 35 minutes. We've been looking at Jesus through the book of John, and I just want to open it up. I'll give the first thing. I've got a lot of things that stand out to me about Jesus, what I'm seeing in the man Jesus, the God-man. So I'll just give you the first thought, but then after that, I want to open it up to your thoughts. What is standing out to you about the real Jesus Christ? Because there's many people talking about Jesus, and there's many people preaching Jesus, but Paul warned that there will be false Jesuses. There will be Jesuses made in the imaginations of men. A Jesus that men can create in their own hearts that they are comfortable with in their sin. And we don't want to fall into that trap. So this is why God gave us the scriptures. This is why he preserved these things. He inspired these men to write these things down, preserve them, and so that through his spirit and through the scriptures, we can see who the real Jesus Christ is. So that we're not going to one day, he's going to go, depart from me, I never knew you, because we were worshiping a Jesus made in our own imagination or made in modern man's imagination. We want to make sure we know the real one. So for me, the first thing that really stood out or stands out in the book of John about Jesus is just how spiritual he is, how spiritually minded he is. That's the first thing that really stands out to me. He is not carnally minded at all. He is not there looking to tend and pander to people's flesh and to people's feelings. He's not there looking to promote and pump his ministry. He's not like sitting around with his guys like, what are we going to do to get more people in? You know, what can we do next? What's the next big thing? You know, how can we attract a bigger crowd? And he is so spiritually minded. And I just see it right off the bat all through this book. He is like, pressing into the spiritual realm, cutting to the eternal things. He is not playing games. And even many times when he talks about things, he's so spiritual, he speaks in parables. He's like, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. You know, it's like, you got to be spiritual to understand what Jesus is talking about. They're like, if he sleeps, Lord, he's going to be fine. Like, why do we have to go wake him up, you know? You know, I'm the bread of life. You know, I mean, you're not eating him, but you're eating him. You see what I'm saying? He's very spiritual. He's not petting people. He's not petting them. He's speaking spiritual, direct truth right into the hearts of men. That's the first thing that really stands out for me. He's not playing games. He's not humanist. There's no humanism in him. He's spiritual. That's the first thing that stands out for me. I don't know if anybody wants to add to that before someone wants to jump in.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing I was thinking. I was thinking about it earlier today. And the other thing is kind of an aspect of that, but he's so confident in everything that he says because he knows that he came from the Father, that everything he's speaking is directly from the Father. And it's, you know, I think about that word confidence and it means with faith.
Yes.
And that's not only the way that Jesus was, but that's the way that we ought to be too when we're speaking these same things.
Yes.
We know whom we have believed and we have to have that same faith and turn that into confidence in what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, and the things that Jesus said, it's not like he was offering opinions. He wasn't offering any opinions. He was like, hey, I know the truth. Yeah. I can't say that, you know, that I don't know him because I know him. Amen. And if I said I didn't know him, then I'd be a liar like one of you.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, just absolute confidence, absolute authority.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know?
Amen. Love it. There's no wavering in Jesus Christ. There's no opinions. And one of the things I love about it, what you're saying is so true. Now, obviously, he's Jesus, so in a sense, he knew all things. Although I think even in some ways, he limited his knowledge because he didn't even know the day or hour when he was going to be sent back at that time. I think now he does. He's at the right hand of the Father. I think all things have been revealed to him now. But I think when he was on the earth as a man, at that time he didn't know that. So there were things he had limited himself to. But what you're saying is very important because he only spoke what the Father had given him to speak so he could speak it with absolute authority and confidence, the authority and confidence of heaven. You know, and just as you're speaking, it just reminds me when the Pharisees come to him on the last week and they're like, you know, where's your authority come from? You know, who gave you this authority? And he's like, how about John? Where's John's baptism from? First answer me this, then I'll answer your question, you know? But I think it's so important. You're right. We have to be the same way. You know, it's fun to speculate and it's fun to play around with different thoughts and different things. But in the end, really all that's kind of a waste of time. We should only speak the things that Jesus Christ has taught us, the things that he has placed in our hearts, the things that he has confirmed to us that we know are the truth. And when we speak those things, we can speak them with authority and confidence. In fact, that is one of the, I want to say it's one of the proofs that someone is speaking by the Holy Spirit. This is something that we're going to see because I want to go forward into Acts. We're not going to go yet, but I want to eventually go forward into Acts, and we're going to look at the apostles preach. But man, when people preach by the Spirit of God, there's no wavering, there's no opinions. They are preaching with such authority and boldness that people either repent, people either run away, or people want to kill them. And there's really kind of no in between, like what I'm seeing. Amen, brother. Anything else? Anybody else? What is you seeing about Jesus in the Gospel of John? Jonathan, you got anything? Oh, wait, hold on. You're muted.
I forgot I was on mute.
Okay, thank you.
I was just thinking of that, the verse that you said from Matthew 7, 21, where you said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And it's interesting in John 6, I think it's 40. I'm just going to find it now. John 6:40. So, you know, I was struggling with that verse to go, like, trying to understand, you know, what is the will of the Father?
Yes.
Is it kind of works related, good works related, or what is it? And it's answered here in John 6, where it says 6:40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So for me, the essence of that is the will of the Father, that we believe in the Son,
yes.
Which I think is quite a crucial aspect of John. I mean, if you go up in that same chapter to verse 28, you know, he's speaking to the crowd, and then he said, they asked him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?"
Yes.
So he's talking about the works. And here Jesus answers them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent me."
Amen.
So the belief in Jesus, and I think we spoke about that when we were talking also about salvation. This for me is like the imperative thing. Yes, we were purposed for good works, but this is the will of the Father, that we believe in the Son.
Absolutely, brother. And I think what's vital to understand is that without true faith in the Son, in the Son of God, you can do many good works. You know, they appear to be good works. But in the end, the scripture says they're actually dead works, and they'll burn up at the judgment, and you'll be cast out as one who didn't know him. Because remember, the whole thing was, "Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in your name?" Wonder, that means wonders. They were doing signs, wonders, miracles, healings. There's a whole movement today of Christianity where the whole focus and the whole emphasis is on the signs, wonders, and miracles. There are entire men's ministries that is what they are focused on. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus. But that is not proof that you have the Holy Spirit or that you know him, that you have true faith. That's not. He's looking for real faith. And I think the thing that's important to understand is you can't have faith unless you truly repent to the living God. And that's one of the things we're seeing very clearly with these chief priests and these religious leaders. These guys knew the Bible and stuff, but he's going, "You can't believe. How can you believe? You don't even believe Moses' writings. You're still looking for honor one for another. You're still, you know, lying in your hearts. You want to kill me. And what bad thing did I do? What evil work did I do? You know, what can you accuse me of?" So that heart of faith, this is very important. Amen. Anybody else want to add to that?
Go ahead. I just, as you were saying that, the verse that came to mind is in Romans 10, where he says, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness."
Yes.
And that's why this faith is so important, why it's the critical thing, because that's what gets into the heart.
Yes.
And then everything else is just a working out of what's on the inside.
Exactly.
This is what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees when he said, you know, you wash the cup and the platter on the outside, but what about the inside? You know, it's filthy.
Yes.
Because they never had that faith, which is the thing that cleanses from the inside out.
Amen, brother. And that's why Jesus said, they want to do the works of God. He says, this is the work of God. You need to believe on him whom the Father sent. Absolutely. Excellent. Anybody else? Other thoughts? Jesus in the book of John. Vili, good to have you, brother.
Good evening, everyone. I went to the dentist today, so I'm struggling to speak a bit.
Okay.
But it's okay. We're speaking about Jesus, so I don't mind at all.
You can push through.
So not maybe just limited to the book of John, but the past few weeks, actually, I've been on a journey where the love of Jesus, the love he has for each and every one, unconditional love, love above understanding, and the humbleness, like all the things he knows, all the knowledge, all the healings, miracles, teachings he's done, to still remain humble, to know you are the Son of the Father, the chosen one, to still have that humbleness. And I think it's maybe the things I'm striving for at the moment in my personal life, is to be able to love my neighbors as I love myself, the same way Jesus loves me. In this world where I can see it's a big problem at the moment, where people are making cliques, like friendship groups, and if you're not of that group, then sorry, we don't acknowledge you, we don't know who you are. And to me, it's very important at the moment, to get to those people, just as Jesus did, getting to the lowly, to the weak, to the poor, to those who probably in this world will never have the opportunity to show what talents they do have. And I think just the love that Jesus has for us, to not just leave us there, but to take us out of there and put us into a place where we can shine his light.
Amen. Amen, bro. Yeah, so one of the points I had, and it goes right along with this, is his compassion on the truly helpless and hopeless. Yeah, something that I see really come through in John is his compassion, like how compassionate he was on those who were helpless and hopeless. Now, the truth is everybody's helpless and hopeless apart from him. But especially the ones who knew they were helpless and hopeless, because those are the ones that are ready to receive his grace, receive his truth, receive his love. Those are the ones that can receive it. The ones who don't know it, they don't think they need him. They think they're too good. He's got to kind of hammer away, and he's got to, deal with hard things. He can't just, manifest his love, directly in that sense. But I just see exactly what you're saying. The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, about to be stoned. The impotent man at the pool, 38 years, nobody's helped him. He can't get any help. He's given up hope on ever being healed. The nobleman whose son is about to die. And people who are helpless, hopeless, at that point, they realize that they have no hope except for Jesus. And some of them don't even realize they have no hope except for Jesus. They just know they have no hope. And then he steps in. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that, really, we all have to get to that point in some way or another. We realize that we are helpless, we are hopeless, and Jesus steps in because he wants to be our hope. He is our only hope. Amen. Okay. Sian, any thoughts from your end?
Just touching on a couple of things that you said there as well, with what all of you have said, just with how spiritually is. I mean, it takes us years to read through a couple of parables just to learn exactly what he was saying. I mean, it takes us all these Zoom calls to try and understand and to talk and discuss. I mean, he just said it in one little sentence, and we're discussing and we're chatting about it, and there's so much power in it. But it's not straightforward. Sometimes what he says is straightforward, but other times it's okay, what was that?
Yes.
But it's amazing how much depth there is as well, because I mean, we've had so many Zoom calls about John, and we haven't really,
Still
even gone
up.
deep. But the thing is, it's amazing, like, the love for the people and the miracles, and like you said, the compassion as well, and just his humbleness, you know. I mean, he was his humility. Yes. I mean, the amazing miracles in John alone. People talk about it for years and years and years. And I think the impact that he made and the people that experienced those miracles for generations to come, their lives were saved because of it, just because of one little thing that he did and one little word that he said. I mean, it's impacted generations. And we're still listening to those stories today, and we're still going over and over. And we're still telling our children today. And I think it's awesome.
Hey, bud. I love it. So my second point that I had was the power of his word. That's exactly what you were saying. That's the second thing that stood out to me, is how deep, how cutting, how direct, you know, how his word was like so straight, but it's deep. Like you were saying, it sometimes it's not straight to us. It's straight, but sometimes it takes us years to sort through because of the sin, the confusion, the fear, you know, all the stuff that hinders us from really receiving and seeing what the word is, what he's really saying. Amen. That's exactly what I had, the power of his word. He didn't waste words, eh? You know, guys like me and Eovolt, we talk a lot, you know, because we're teachers and counselor, and, you know, so it's kind of our job. But Jesus wasn't like that. He was very, Nicodemus is flattering him, and he's just like, dude, unless you get born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. And he's like, what are you talking about? And boom, boom, boom. Well, how can this be? Boom, boom, boom. Conversation done. Move on. It was just very direct, spiritual, to the point, extremely deep and profound. And yeah, amen. The fruit that comes out of the things that Jesus did and said, it's still bearing fruit to this day. And it will continue to bear fruit for eternity. Excellent points.
I
was going to go to you next, Eovolt, anyways.
Talking, I just got this image of the rays of the sun. And, you know, I'm not smart enough to know when that ray that hit my face right now, when did that actually leave the sun? And for me, it's the same with the words of Christ. You know, It keeps finding me, and I'm never sure when it was actually spoken. And like you're saying, you know, after many years, then suddenly you start understanding something. But it's the same word, but it just keeps hitting you, and then eventually you get it. And for me, it's like the rays of the sun. This is for me what Jesus does for all of us. His word just is endless, and it's just constantly pushing his word out. And all you have to do is, if you just keep listening to his word, eventually the light will break the darkness. It will. It has to. It has to. If we submit to him, it has to break the darkness. And sometimes we just need to be a little patient for those rays of Jesus' sunlight in his word. Just keep hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. It's like vitamin D, you know. It doesn't give you your lifetime supply in one explosion. No, it's daily, over many years. And this is the invitation of Christ. Amen. Don't come just for a visit. Please stay.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Take your word for that.
No. Don't take my word for it. Dude, I just did it in my head. I might be wrong. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I was just reminded of when Jesus prayed for the blind man, and he prayed twice. But the first time he prayed, and he asked the man if he could see, or what he could see, he said he could see men like trees. And then he prayed the second time, and then he could see, you know, in the natural. So for me, like, it's a representation of Jesus, how everything about him is spiritual first. So if you think of the man, when he prayed for him, the blind man, it was almost like his spiritual eyes were open. He could see men like trees. And mm-hmm. It kind of relates back to Psalms 1. And then he could see in the natural thereafter. And so, as you were saying, I think it's rightfully so, that Jesus, although we're kind of made of this flesh and we're made of clay – he speaks spiritually first, and is kind of almost represented in that healing of that blind man, and it's spiritual, you know, first. And I think that's why for us, as we kind of growing and we're being sanctified, it's kind of peeling off those fleshy layers and getting to the spiritual stuff. Because that was, you know, Jesus is the representation of the Father, and the Father is spirit. And I think, like you say, it's basically, it's more spiritual than fleshly. And I think for us, even though we're still in these fleshly bodies, we got to live spiritual lives. And yes, for me, that's the challenge, is kind of living spiritually more than fleshly.
Amen. That's the war. Ray.
Yes.
I thought you had something to say. I looked like you were about to jump in.
Oh, I could say something.
Go ahead.
You know, I think about it quite a bit. You know, in Genesis, when God created man, he made them with a body of flesh, like an animal, but he made them with a spirit in the image of God, almost like he was giving man a choice. You're kind of like, you're in between. You can either follow me, or you could be like an animal, mm-hmm, and just follow the flesh. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Jesus is doing, is he's showing us the way.
Sure. Well, that's truth right there. That's truth. It's interesting. What's the Antichrist called in the book of Revelation?
The beast.
The beast. So in the end, you're either going to choose the one from above, and you're going to become spiritual and heavenly, like the God who made you, or you're going to choose the one from beneath, and you're going to become like an animal. And that's what the scriptures even said. I think David said it. Man that is without understanding is like the natural brute beasts that perish. Man that is without understanding is like the natural brute beasts. I saw a horrible... Actually, forget it. I don't even want to tell you. Somebody sent me some video. She said, God, have mercy. Have mercy on man. Brother Evil, what is standing out to you about Jesus that you're seeing in John?
There's no compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Nothing. I said to Adam and Jonathan at the beginning of the call, I just get excited already with John 1, and then I just stay excited with this topic, because this, for me, I just love it. And, you know, understanding that Jesus does not compromise, and he is truly light, and he does not mix with darkness, but he dispels darkness. You know, I can't tell you guys how much endless source of hope that provides me in my many capacities. Firstly, as a child of God, but as a husband, as a father, as fellow human being, as a disciple, as so many different capacities like each one of you has. But to know that the one I am entrusting my eternal life into, in his hands, he is uncompromising.
Amen.
He will never accept darkness,
Amen,
into himself. Never. And that gives me so much hope. In a world that's got such blurry lines and so much gray areas and so much whatever.
Yes.
That's why I get so tearful when I just think of this. It's like, I mean, what is man that we deserve to serve a God that is light?
Sure.
I mean, he loves us. I'll start wailing when I think about this, because this for me is just, I was never good enough, and I can never be good enough for that life. But because he died and he was resurrected, he gave me a chance,
Amen,
to die with him as well.
Amen.
And suddenly that light, which is himself, I got to be a part of, because I was born into that light.
Amen.
And I'm no longer a son of the darkness anymore.
Amen.
But I'm a son of life. And I would never deserve this. And this is something that just, it hits me to the core. That's why I'm saying, you shouldn't laugh at me, but that's why I don't get past John 1. John 1 just hits me straight in the face, in the stomach, in the heart, in every single part of my being. Because this is for me the essence of Christ. Is he does not compromise.
Amen.
And and we can describe his character in so many different ways. And I think, honestly, I think I would have found, if I'm sitting with Jesus and I have a conversation with him in the physical, and you were sitting there next to the Sea of Galilee or whatever, I think I might have been offended once or twice by some of the things that he said to me, because he would have just really not, you know, he wouldn't have compromised for my for my condition. He would have lifted me out of my condition by offering me a choice to repent.
Yes.
And so this is for me something about Jesus that I wouldn't be able to, if you take that part away from him, then I'm left nowhere. I need to serve a God who is uncompromisingly God.
Amen.
He's not asking me to be God with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. And, you know, I get this opportunity to be part of his household, but I'm not him.
Amen.
The invitation was never for us to become God.
Amen.
He's God.
Amen.
That seat is not for taking.
Amen.
But we have this opportunity to be one with him in spirit, and that's what Jesus is praying for. And that's John 17, or am I quoting the wrong chapter?
No, you're right.
He prays for all of us.
You're right.
And I love it. And it's like, let us be one. Oh, man, it's like, we don't deserve it. I mean, there's no ways that you can look at Jesus and think that you're gonna cut it on your own fleshly ways. No ways.
Amen.
Never,
amen.
ever. And the more I work with people in counseling, and the more I live with myself, I can tell you, without repentance, I don't think it's ever possible to get close to God. Ever. If you are compromising it, you'll become an animal, just like Ray was saying. I know it's not Ray, probably you'll get ousted from every marketplace and every church and whatever through what you were saying there, but it's truth. We shouldn't compromise, and this word is a two-edged sword, and this for me is like, this is Christ. And I just get teary-eyed with this. This is for me. Yeah, John 1. Man, the 10-pin bowling is all done just with John 1. Sure. Every single thing is on the floor. It's a mess. And there's only one who can pick it up, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's it.
Amen, brother.
Maybe 3 cents on that one.
Oh, no, I love it. Resonates with my heart. To me, what you're saying, what you're talking about, that uncompromising, that is... Hold on. Okay, I thought I lost you guys for a second. To me, that is one of the proofs that someone has the Spirit of God in them. That is one of the marks that somebody has the Spirit of God. It's not speaking in unknown tongues, okay? One of the marks that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you is that now there is something in you that just resonates with the truth, loves the truth, and can't compromise the truth. Even when you fail and you deny because you're still fearful of men, in your heart, you can't compromise it. And you'll weep bitterly, you'll repent like Peter, you'll get right, and you will stand up for the truth, because he's called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Truth to lead us into all truth, because exactly what you said, if God compromised just an inch, then it doesn't even make sense. It's impossible. If he compromises, then he can't be God. Heaven can't be heaven. Everything will be compromised. In order for his kingdom to be a glorious, eternal kingdom of joy and peace and love and righteousness, he cannot compromise. When Adam and Eve just ate one bite of an apple, it wasn't an apple, but you know, when they ate that one bite of that fruit, that's it. They got to go. They have to go. He can't compromise. You're out. That's the true God. This is the true God. He's not a sloppy lover. I'm sorry. The modern churches have made him into a sloppy lover. He's not a sloppy lover. He is uncompromising. He is precise. He is exact. And everything has to be exactly in order. But because he is love, He's willing to count the full cost and go more than the extra mile so that the door can be opened for us. Amen.
Amen. That's something that I was thinking of earlier, is that, you know, throughout this book of John, he's offering the true grace of God. He offers grace, but it's always on his terms. There's no compromise in it, or else it's not really true grace.
That's right. Right, brother. Amen. Okay, brother, you're on for next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So just before my brother signs off, because I know he's got to leave right at 8, next week, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to still facilitate the meeting, but I'm going to be out of town, and I asked Raymond if he could step in and if he'd be willing to teach. Brother, you got any idea what you're going to be teaching on yet?
Yes, and it was just kind of confirmed in what we were going over today. So I want to be looking at something in John 17.
Okay.
I was kind of hinted at a little bit today. Honestly, I believe these are the seven words, this phrase that Jesus spoke to his Father, that really represents, more than anything else I've ever read, what the true essence of Christianity is. Hmm. And it's when he said, "I in them and thou in me."
Sure. Amen.
And so I was thinking that would be a great thing to talk about.
We're looking forward to it, brother. We're going to look forward to it. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is leading us. He's with us. I love you guys. Honestly, you guys stir my heart under just righteousness and under the love of God. And as Ray just said, the true grace of God. There's false grace out there. But God's not ministering false grace. He's ministering only true grace. And it's his terms. It's his way. You either humble yourself and you come his way, or you don't have part of it. And that's one thing I see clearly through John. Okay, I said we cut at 8, but I want to just give Nico and Natasha a chance. We might extend an extra 5-10 minutes, but we're going to cut it shortly. But if Nico or Natasha, if either one of you want to share, please feel free to share anything you've been seeing on John. Ray, if you got to go, we understand, but we're looking forward to hearing from you next week, brother. Blessings. Nico or Natasha, either of you want to share? If not, then hey, we can throw an extra 5-10 minutes in there. Anybody want to add anything else before we go? It's been a good conversation. I don't want to cut anybody short if anybody has anything else to add, but I feel everybody shared their heart there. And that's a blessing. Jonathan, you have anything else you wanted to add? Oh, wait, Nico. Nico's got his hand up.
I just want to say that that the journey so far that we've learned from the book of John is it is an eye-opener, and that there's a lot of lessons that we have learned through a life journey through the book of John. And looking forward to the finishing chapters of John.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that.
I think, Adam, one of the things that still blows my mind is, you know, where it says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And it still blows my mind to think, you know, that Jesus represents God. So it almost kind of makes him a bit understandable, relatable. He's still mind-blowing, but yet he's still God. And it's crazy to think, like, Jesus's nature on this earth is an exact representation of God the Father. He showed us his nature, his character, which is still mind-blowing, because sometimes it's difficult to relate to an invisible God, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
But yet, Jesus makes him relatable. And through the book of John, he kind of, although he's he speaks spiritually, he still makes God the Father relatable, and that still blows my mind.
Amen, brother. Yeah, he really is. He's the bridge. In his nature, he's God in the spiritual and in the soul, and yet in the physical nature, he became us. So he was the same as us in the physical, but in the spirit, in the heart, the mind, the soul, it's God. And he's the mediator. He really is the mediator. He's the way. He is the door. And it's just fascinating how, it's just really fascinating how those apostles, when they walked with Jesus in the flesh before he died, before he rose, before he gave the Holy Ghost, there was a ceiling that they could hit, and they went no further. And so even though they were in the flesh with him, they're still in the upper room going, show us the Father. Jesus is like, how long have you been with me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. But they couldn't see the Father, because there's something about this thing where his flesh had to die, and almost in type, it had to be ripped open. And that's why the only way we can really enter in, like in a sense, he became the temple, and you want to enter into the most holy place. That's into the heart, right? It's into the spirit. I want to enter the most holy place, the heart and spirit of Jesus Christ. But the veil had to be ripped open. But the truth is, I can't go in with my unclean natural flesh and enter in. And so the only way I can enter in is I too have to die. It's like the flesh of Jesus and the flesh of us both have to be shed off, so finally spirit to spirit can join, so we can actually enter in. But yes, he does. He came, that it, and it all ties in with what Vili and Sian were talking about, the humility of God manifest in the flesh of Jesus Christ, that he was that humble to come that low so that the veil could be torn, so that we could enter in. But you're right. All through John, you clearly see, I think more clearly than the other Gospels, but the other Gospels are still there too, there's no doubt, but really see what you just said about how he is the express image of the invisible God. Yeah, I mean, he really is. Amen. Okay. We'll wrap it up. Guys, thank you. Thank you for, if nothing else, just this fellowship was just sweet. Just to talk about Jesus, to just talk about the one we love. He's everything. Yeah. So next week, tune in, be ready. Our brother Raymond's going to be opening up those seven words. I in them, and thou in me. That's going to be something. I'm looking forward to that. So, I have nothing else to say. Evald, if you can close us in prayer, please.
Lord, we just want to say thank you that because we are discussing you, we've got something worthwhile to discuss tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the beginning, the middle, and the end of every conversation, the sentence that there ever was and ever should be, Lord Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are holy, Lord. Lord, without you there is no meaning, but in you all meaning exists. You are light and you are truth. You are love. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came and you humbled yourself to become human. Lord, I thank you that we today have the privilege, absolute privilege, of serving you as the resurrected Christ. As your disciples, as your followers, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that we are not serving you in a diminished form, but we are serving you in a glorified form. You are exalted above every name. Every victory is yours, majesty is yours, the kingdom is yours, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that with all of this, you decided to love us. And this is the the beginning of our journey in approaching you is you opened the door for us to come close to you. We thank you. We thank you so, so much. So much. I ask that you bless every single person on this call tonight. Those that left us while ready. Those that couldn't be here. But I ask that you break open your word for us, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So that we may come to know. Yes. Come to know you. Lord, I ask that you help us that we don't compromise with what we know already of you.
Amen.
But that we step into an invitation of you that are deeper than we could ever think.
Amen. Thank you.
Help us, Lord, to search more and more into you. Lord, help us to go further than DNA level.
Yes.
Help us go beyond whatever we could hope or dream for.
Amen.
That we may find, Lord, things hidden in you that will just blow us away. Lord, you are amazing. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for this opportunity to have life eternal. Lord, it is wonderful. It is so wonderful. Help us to be good stewards of this new life that we have been given. Help us to each day live our lives in such a way that it is pleasing to you. Help us to live lives that impact those around us. Help us live lives in such a way that we don't leave any man or woman willfully behind. Help us, Lord, see those who are down in the gutter and not just brush our eyes across them.
Amen.
Help us to stop when no one else will stop. Help us to bend down and pick up when no one else will do that. Help us to climb into the gutter and push out of the gutter when no one else will do that. No. Lord, I don't know you to be someone that would be scared of getting your hands dirty for the lost and the broken.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to not be concerned with our lives to such an extent that we sacrifice the lives of other people along the way. Help us lift them up to a place where they could have never thought of going, and to meet a Lord that none of us are deserving of meeting, but that we have the privilege of having a relationship with you because you love us first. Lord, I ask that you direct our footsteps this week. Show us your ways. Teach us, Lord, every step of the way so that we may serve you and serve the people in such a way that your name may be glorified. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. When you were praying, I was just felt like, man, I'm in the throne room, just worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to be up there just praising him. You guys are a blessing. By God's grace, I look forward to seeing you all next week.
Thank you so much, Adam. Bye-bye, everybody.
Good evening. Bye.
Cheers, guys.
Good night, guys.
Have a safe trip, Adam. When do you leave?
We leave Saturday. Leave Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. We'll
pray for travel mercies.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Yeah, and pray for just good open doors for the gospel. We're going down there to preach, and just divine encounters.
Okay.
And who knows? I'll go down, I'll scout out the territory. If it's good, maybe we can do a future trip, get a team together and go down there. So, you know, it's just something.
Well, you've got with the vehicle now. So.
That's right. I got it now. We can do it, man. All right, guys.
Cool. Have a good evening, guys. Farewell.
Blessings.